Good evening.
It's amazing what's going on in this world today. I just, not only the 50 people, but that girl from The Voice, guy goes right up there, takes a gun and shoots her in the head and kills her. I mean, these days are dark, evil, and horrible. And there's no better time to be a Christian than right now. My message tonight is in Ecclesiastes. And the purpose is why are we here? And where do we go from here? What is our purpose of being alive on this planet Earth right now? And we're looking in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And the first part of this chapter, it says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So as we look at this passage right now, it's basically summing up the whole principle of us being down here, which nobody really realizes. That we are created for God's purpose, to glorify God, to worship God, and to serve him. We are here to fear God and keep his commandments, not for ourselves, and to serve him only. And that's the end of the story. That's why we're created. Two things we need to learn today is, one is why, the question is the question, and number two, God is the answer. The purpose of our lives revolves around God. We were created to connect with the Creator. We have been given life from God, to live with God and for God. And when we see these, David Matthews gave a great message today, and if we think about it, the Darwins and the people that believe in evolution say that we just, out of nothing, was made everything, and it just kind of boils my blood to know that these professors and scientists think that we just came from water, and it just all appeared out of nothing. That's my which I'm going to show you right now. Which I'm going to show you right now. This is what they believe. Right here. Right here, Dane. I didn't fill it up all the way, but this is what David was saying. The Big Bang. Ready? This is what they believe. Now, out of that drop, I'm looking at this water right now. I see the heavens forming. I see animals forming. I see human life forming. I see lakes. I see mountains. Do you see what I see? You guys see that? I see ducks. I see the wind. I see the sky. I see the heavens. I actually see angels in here too. You know, I could have given them more credit. Why don't you just say Superman created? At least he's got kryptonite. He could have thrown it down there and it could have exploded. But to say that you're refusing, when the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that's all that needs to be said. And they've heard it. They've heard that. But they refuse that. This is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. Trust and obey his is a hymn that we hear. Trust and obey. King Solomon says to fear God. Ecclesiastes 3:4. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. The word fear we're going to study tonight is another way of saying fear is love, an awe of God. Chapter 5. And that verse says, "For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear." That's why people don't have no fear of God. They've got their own ideas, their own agenda. If you want to maintain balance in your life, real balance, you have to learn to fear God. And a lot of people just don't do that. They have no fear. They go about their lives. They're atheists, as Bruce was saying, or David was saying. They've got no fear of God. They go about their life. They live. They party. They just carouse. They act like they're not going to answer absolutely anything down here. Ecclesiastes 7 says, be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Look at this passage. Why should you die before your time? You know what that means? Is if you keep acting like an idiot down here, you're going to die early. It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand. For the one who fears God shall come from both of them. And finally, he says, if you want your life to go well for you, if you want to get the most out of your life, you can. In chapter 8, it says, though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with these who fear God, because they fear before him. Type of fear he's talking about. Now, the type of fear he's talking about is not like a bully where you're like, I'm deathly afraid. Or let's say a hot stove where, you know, you don't want to put your hand over there. Or like, say, a rattlesnake you see out in the garden or out there. You have a fear. Your parents, Bruce will teach his kids not to touch the hot stove. That's a fear that you don't want to do that. You're going to get hurt. Or play around with snakes in the backyard. You don't want to do that. That's not the type of fear. A godly fear. A godly fear. God loves us so much he wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. So badly that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us that he longs to have an eternal relationship with us. If we think about that. That's the whole ballgame. We're all sinners. A lot of people just don't think they're even sinners. God wants us to have an intimate relationship with us, and that's why he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down here. We all ought to have a fear of displeasing God. We don't want to displease God. A godly fear of causing him to discipline us. That's what we'll end up. Why is our culture disintegrating? Look what just happened right now. I mean, this kid that walked up and took a gun and shot this innocent girl the other day in Orlando for no reason. And then the other guy, the ISIS guy, goes in and shoots a bar from, I mean, godless people. Godless people. Why is our culture disintegrating before us? We are seeing violence in our homes, our schools, with the teenagers, the neighborhoods, like we've never seen before. Why life has less value in America? Why? Because we lost the fear of God. We lost the fear of God. Nobody fears God at all. Politicians, listen to this. The politicians, they fear public opinion and polls more than they fear God. So that they can get elected, so the money keeps coming in. It's all about the dollar. Here's another one. We fear cancer more than we fear God. We just talked about cancer. Everybody's getting cancer, right? Solomon said, you really want to understand the meaning of life is to fear God. Because when you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. We don't have to fear anything else when we fear God. The conclusion of that matter is fear God and follow his commandments. In the last part of 12, it says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That is our all down here, is to fear God and keep his commandments. I mean, he's very thorough with this. Knowing God. Why don't more people fear God? Because they don't know God. You're not going to fear what you don't know. If they don't know him, they're not going to fear him. If you don't teach a child not to touch a hot stove, he's going to touch the stove. Or if you, like we said earlier, tell him to play the snake, if you don't teach him not to play the snake, he's going to do that. We were put here to know God. To know God is to love God. To love God is to fear God. And to fear God is to obey God. That's basically the whole end of the story. Because we're going to get into the religions in a little bit too, where they don't know God either. They've got religion, which we're going to get into. That's why Solomon said to fear God and keep his commandments. That's why religion doesn't work. You will not get to know God by obeying God. You obey God when you get to know God. That's why in churches today they come in, they sing, they listen, they give their money, but they don't know God. Isn't that funny? A lot of the churches out there, they just come, they go through the motions, they're ushers, they work behind the scenes, they're secretaries, they go through the motions, they don't go to Bible study, they don't read the Bible, you never hear mention any scripture. Nothing of substance at all. And after, and their fellowships, they don't talk about nothing about no chapters, no Luke, no Ecclesiastes, no Proverbs, no Psalms, nothing to encourage each other. They just punch a time clock, going to work, oh, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, I gotta get going. Here we go. Here's the time card. Click, right out, punch out, 10 o'clock, out the door, drive down, restaurant home, ball game, crack a beer. We'll see you next Sunday. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. See, they think they know Jesus Christ, but they don't know Jesus Christ. They only think they're a sinner. Look at this. But they don't know God. You have to know God. That's why all religions are false. The Jehovah's false witness. Right there is one of them. Fear doesn't mean being afraid of God. When you fear God, you'll love what God loves and hate what God hates. That's a great way of looking at it. That's why when you read the Bible, you understand God hates liars. We should hate liars. I hate liars. My dad hates liars. He hated when I lied to him. I taught me not to lie to him no more. He said, I hate liars. You know, God hates liars. God loves when we love our enemies. That's hard to do, but that's what he wants us to do. That's why you see there's so much hate out here, is people hate each other. And as Christians, we got to love our enemies that persecute us, because we see a lot of that going on, especially as a Christian. To know God personally is to know God correctly. To fear God correctly is to trust God completely. To trust God completely is to love God supremely. To love God supremely is to obey God totally. That's why it's important to be into fellowship, getting around the right people. As tonight, it's a small congregation, and we have a small church, but the unity is phenomenal. It's unbreakable. And we're getting more people in here. That's why you see people come and go out of churches, because they don't stay committed. They don't stay in the Word. They don't stay encouraged. The whole essence of life, why we are breathing air right now, our purpose is to fear God and keep His commandments. But that's why we were made and meant for His purpose. Look at the facts. First fact is true. We're to fear God and keep His commandments. We all have a meaning and purpose down here. As an example, when you see a doctor, he was meant to be a doctor. When you see a lawyer, he was meant to be a lawyer. When you see a roofer, he was meant to roof houses. If you see a house builder like Dan, he's meant to build houses. If you see a teacher, they were meant to teach. God has a specific purpose for each and every one of us down here. I mean, that, you know, without any of these combinations, you're going to have a chaotic world down here. It all revolves around God. We are people, that's why people are all messed up out there. They're crazy because they were created for one purpose, and they're trying to live for another purpose. So people out there think that my purpose is to make money, to climb the ladder at work, to get up to the top, to get all they can, to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they die. And they figure that is their purpose of life. They don't have nothing to do with the Lord. They don't think they're a sinner. They want to get as much money, have as much fun as they can. They want to party it up. They want to live like it's their last day. They want to gain all they can and forget about their problems down here. They don't think that when God says, for it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, they don't think about that. But that's exactly what's going to happen. That's why God says, our purpose is to know Him, love Him, serve Him, worship Him, fear Him, and obey Him. And if you don't do that, you're totally missed your whole purpose of being created down here. That's horrific. I mean, that is really horrific to go through this life. And we see people in their 20s, 30s get shot and killed, dealing drugs all day, every day on the news, and have to go back to God and give an account for what they've done down here in an evil manner. They don't realize what their purpose is. And I don't want to hear this, I've never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear this, they haven't heard of God. I don't want to hear that. They have. Why do you think when people cuss the Lord's name, it ain't Allah or Muhammad, it's Jesus? You know why? Because deep down they know He's God. That's exactly what it is. Deep down, they know that's why they hate Him. That's why the Lord Jesus says they're going to hate you, us, because they hated Him first. Let's not lose track of that. And that's why Solomon concludes with this sentence, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. That's why each and every day as a Christian, we want to make each day count down here. Because we see the good die young, I guess, and we see the evil have prolonged lives. But each day that we're alive down here, we dedicate it to the Lord, and we want to make everything count. You know, it's just like we don't want to displease the Lord running this race and our purpose for our Savior. That's why it's a beautiful thing today to come to church in the morning, come to church at night here. Remember what the Lord has done for us. We're storing our treasures in heaven, not down here. You know, I just got done doing a job in Bloomfield Hills the other day. And it was a small job, but, her husband was a doctor. It was a mansion. I mean, I'm talking, out in Bloomfield, but it's a man. These are big houses. And she was just kind of concerned about the smallest, meaningless thing you can think about. And I'm thinking, I think she was Jewish, and I try not to get involved with starting a big argument with them, because I know that they don't accept the Lord. They just believe in the Old Testament. They just believe in the Old Testament, right? But I'm thinking to myself, they 30 or 40 years from now, somebody else is going to be putting the key in that door. You're not going to own this big house. And it's really difficult to not say something. You kind of want to say something, I wanted to say something, but that's why when Solomon says we're toiling, chasing the wind is something that you can never grasp. I mean, I thank God that I have place to go to. I have a car. I mean, meaningless things. And you want to make a mountain out of a molehill. Had you ever got on your knees and thanked God for this multi-million dollar mansion you're just borrowing? You're temporarily borrowing this? You don't even own this. You know that? Your husband or one of you two die tomorrow. The deed's done. It goes to somebody else. Eternity is what's priceless. Standing before God. Yeah. You know what God's, one of the things God's going to say besides, did you know his son personally? He's going to ask us, couple of things is, did you fear me, like Solomon says, and did you obey me? Well, Lord, let's look at it this way. I'm a doctor, and I'm a lawyer. I made a lot of money. I raised a great family. No, I'm not asking you that. Did you fear me, and did you obey me? Do you know who my son is, that he came down from heaven and died on the cross to pay for your sins? Did you acknowledge that? Because if you didn't, you're going to die right in them sins. Did you acknowledge that? Well, wait a minute. I've lived a good life. I've done everything right. I've got all these degrees. It's all going to be meaningless in the day of judgment. And there's going to be arguments. That's why I say a lot of people, when they say that passage in Matthew, Lord, Lord, I mean, didn't I prophesy your name? Didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I go to church like a good boy all the time? When God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You worker of lawlessness. People think they know God. They don't. I sent Jesus so you could know me. That's the only purpose that we could ever have a relationship with Almighty God is through his Son, and that is it. There's no other way. No other way to put that bridge to God from where we're at, except through Christ. Having wealth and health is good, but if you don't know Jesus, it's meaningless. People are wasting their life buying stuff, hoarding stuff, enjoying all they can, storing stuff down here. You ever see these hoarders? They got their house are filled with junk and cars and clothes and jewelry and all their money all stacked away, and they're selfish, they're greedy, and it's all for nothing. Look at this. I love it. Ecclesiastes. Remember your Creator before the silk cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. And I love this. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's exactly what's going to happen. We have a spirit, we have a soul. Animals don't have a soul, they have a spirit. But you know what? When we're out of here, these bodies, we're intense. We die, and then our spirit goes back up. He's very clear about this, too. It's very, very clear. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's why our bodies are operating right now. Why? Because we have a spirit in us that are controlling us right now. Without that spirit, we'd drop down right away. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. Bible is nothing but truth. People want to go to these
soothsayers and these crystal ball and get on the phones and dial the 800 numbers to get an edge on is a big waste of time, energy, and money. They're spending thousands of dollars on calling these psychics, these hotline psychics. You know what you got to do? You just got to say, well, you want to just go grab a Bible. That's all. You want to know anything you ever wanted to dream about or anything about life? Get a Bible and sit there and read it. This Bible has not one word out of place, not a word or a letter out of place. It's never lied and never will lie. It stands forever and ever. It really does. It really does. And how people don't see that, I have no idea. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of the scholars like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. So here we go. And further, my son, be admonished by these making many books. There is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. So now we're talking to a guy named Solomon, who's had everything under the sun: riches, women, wealth, pools, mansions, anything you can dream of. And at the end of his life, you know what he says? He says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What the whole matter means is, what is this life about? What is our purpose? You know what he says? His final words say, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the bottom line. That is the all, end all and be all. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's what our purpose is down here. That's exactly what our purpose is down here, folks. And I believe that. And it's a blessing to foreknow what's going to take place after this life is over with. Because if you think about it, we go about our day like, hey, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to have a good day. You don't know. As Dan's dad said, Jerry Fitzgerald said, you don't know if by the time you get up and you tie your shoe, by the end of the day, Undertaker will untie your shoe. Whether it be in a car accident or cancer or sudden death. We just saw that with Mary Carpenter's relatives out there in Kentucky, or Jason's family. He was 45 years old and died instantly in a car. I mean, we need to be focused every day on meeting the Creator that created us and created the heavens and the earth. I mean, watch our P's and Q's. I mean, walk the, you know, be focused. Be ready. I mean, you know, it just judgment day is a big deal. And as Christians, we shouldn't really, you know, the Lord has paid it for our sins. We shouldn't really have a fear of that. Most people are not afraid to die, but as Christians, we're going home. We're going to be with the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's why the Seventh-day Adventist thing, that's thrown out the window. I mean, you could soul sleep all you want. You think you're going to go grab your sleeping bag and go sit, you know, sleep in the corner for a couple of decades, and then God will wake you up. No. You're going against what God just said. We're to be absent from the body. Present with the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. This is comforting. This is comforting. Being here at this church is comforting. Knowing each other is good. It's fun. And we should keep encouraging each other to do that. And I know it's tough to talk to people about the Lord. They're just angry. They don't want to hear it. But you know, try to slip in, you know, whatever you can do. I mean, you know, having a brother with you when you try to witness is a lot easier. When he says two are better than one, that is true. That very is true. When, you know, if I'm with Bruce or Dan or Bob, I've witnessed a couple people. Bob was on a couple of my jobs, and we got to get a track out. Hey, that's, you never know where those tracks lead. Bob was praying for those people. Remember, Bob? So, what a blessing. What a blessing this word is. Let's close. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for this book of Ecclesiastes. I love the whole Bible, Lord. I just thank you for
given Solomon the wisdom to pass on to us what your thoughts are and how we're to live and to be prepared to meet you. We thank you for this church, Lord. We lift up these people that got murdered. These 50, you know, kids in this club. And, you know, I know the club, you know, is not the most godliest place to be, Lord, but that doesn't contradict, the, you know, why this person did that. And the kid that's probably not with you right now that murdered that girl the other day, Lord. We pray for the families that have got to go through this horrific nightmare that they probably can't believe. But that's the way of this world right now. That's where it's going, and it's not going to get better. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Pray for our meal at Bruce's. Thank you for bringing us out tonight in Jesus' name.
Okay, don't get in your car and think as long as I'm in the car, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.